Lord's Day to all of you this morning. It's good to see so many. Thank you for being here as we gather this morning in word and sacrament to receive the gifts of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we gather this morning, just one particular announcement that I wanted to make. That is, next Sunday we will be having a special voters meeting to discuss the parking lot and the things that need to be done there. You should have received in your mailbox some information regarding that. If you did not receive a copy of that, I guess you can speak to Jessica about that. She will make that happen for you. There are other announcements in the bulletin. Please do make note of those. I will be actually out of the office tomorrow through Wednesday for a retreat down in Kansas. So if you do need something, feel free to call, but I will be out of state. This morning as we gather for the third Sunday in Lent, before we sing our opening hymn, let us greet each other in peace.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And
you forgave me my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you all. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted.
Take away our sin, O Lord, we beseech you, with the prayer that we may enter the holy of holies. Through Jesus
Christ.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to take on himself our flesh, that he might overcome the devil's tyranny and defend us poor sinners. We give you thanks for your merciful help. Be present with us in our grace, in your grace, in all temptations. Preserve us from the worldly security, and by your Holy Spirit, keep us in your word and your fear, that we may be delivered from the enemy and obtain eternal salvation. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is written in the prophet of Jeremiah, chapter 26. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not hold back a word. It may be that they will listen and everyone turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster that I intend to do to them because of their evil deeds. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law that I have set before you and to listen to the words of my servants and prophets whom I send to you urgently, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse for all the nations of the earth. The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. When Jeremiah was finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, you shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant? And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord, and they took their seat in the entry of the gate of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, this man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears. This is the word of the Lord. Arise, O Lord, do not let man forget. Let the nations be judged in your sight. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. Our second reading is written in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God and as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, like my eyes of a servant, look to the hand of their masters. So our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusts and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking the rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel of our Lord. I believe in God, the Father.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die." The prophet of Jeremiah, from our Old Testament text this morning, was tasked with a difficult thing. He was sent by God to preach to a people who did not like what he had to say. He was not well received. It is a hard-hearted congregation that wants to kill the preacher because he proclaims to the people the word of God. And while we may stand at a distance of time and in a different culture, this should give us pause. Standing at that distance from this time of Jeremiah, you have to wonder why the people were so ready to kill. Why do they hate what they hear? Maybe because they live in chaotic, uncertain times. Maybe things are falling apart. Maybe because they know that their neighbor to the north were conquered by an invading army of Assyria. And they can sense their own decline and fall. Or maybe they're just sick of Jeremiah because they do not want to hear about their idols and their false worship again. But they are to hear it again and again, because the Lord loves them. This is why he sends a preacher to the temple. Jeremiah speaks not from himself, but what he is ordered to say. For in truth, Jeremiah swears that the Lord sent me to speak all these words in your ears. It is the Lord's doing, and so Jeremiah has to say it. The comfort for Jeremiah is that it is the Lord's words. They are the Lord's power, God's word of law that accuses and kill, and his words of promise that heal, makes us whole. So what is it that sets the people off like this? Jeremiah says, Shiloh. Now, for us to understand this, we must know a little bit of history. During the time of Samuel, which is around 1060 BC, Shiloh was the place where the Ark of the Covenant resided. The Ark of the Covenant was God's dwelling place since the time of Moses. So Shiloh was at one time a big deal. It was a spectacular place because it was where God sat on his mercy seat. It is where atoning blood was poured out and where God forgave sin on earth. The real story comes, though, when what happens to Shiloh? And it is destroyed, as according to Psalm 78. It tells us that God's people rebelled against him, ignored his word, and angered him with their false worship and idolatry. So the Lord, full of wrath, forsook his dwelling at Shiloh, the tent where he dwelt among mankind. So we fast forward a couple of hundred years to the time of Jeremiah, where he's speaking the name Shiloh, and it would be met with immediate understanding. This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitants. In other words, Jeremiah was preaching against the children of Israel and their idolatry. Jeremiah was calling for the children of Israel to repent, lest God treat them as he had their fathers by withdrawing himself from their presence because of their unfaithfulness. He says again, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words that you have heard. Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster he has pronounced against you." So to the angry ears in the temple, Jeremiah's words of warning and call for repentance were received as sinful words of blasphemy. How dare Jeremiah suggest that they become like Shiloh? There is nothing that could destroy the magnificent temple in Jerusalem. Only words of God that priests, prophets, and officials and the people can all rally behind are kill the preacher. Jeremiah, for his part, offers no apology. He offers no retraction. He invokes as his only defense that he speaks only what the Lord has sent him to speak. So also Jeremiah declares that because he speaks only what the Lord has given him to speak, that the crowds can do with him what they think is good and right. But he warns them of this: know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon this city and its inhabitants, for in truth the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears. Now, if you remember Bible history, you know that this prophecy spoken by Jeremiah bears out in Jerusalem, because the people of Jerusalem did not repent, and indeed they did end up like Shiloh. The temple is destroyed, and Israel is carried off to captivity into Babylon. So the warnings of the prophets are always good for us to think about in our own day and age as well. We might ask such a question: what will people say years from now when they hear the name of this place, Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Ravenna? Will this place be but one more monument to humanity or to humans' unfaithfulness, where God's word has been perverted or maybe ignored or in pursuit of something else? Or will this place be where God, our Lord, continues to proclaim his law that brings about repentance and his gospel that grants forgiveness of sins? Indeed, we pray for the latter, that this congregation would continue to be a place where the law and gospel are proclaimed according to Christ's command. For this is God's desire, as it was at the time of Israel, where God called the prophet, so it is today, where God continues to call and send preachers to his people, calling them to repentance. But this is where we struggle. We are often content with the way things are, and we will justify ourselves and say, yeah, maybe we're a little rough around the edges, but we're not all that bad. We certainly don't need someone to call us to repentance. But indeed, this is the work of God's law, to bring about repentance to his people. Jeremiah wasn't the first of God's prophets to be threatened by his people. Jeremiah gave himself up to what seemed good and right to the mob, but ultimately he does not die here, nor did he die for you. As cruel as Jerusalem treated Jeremiah during his time, it was much more cruel to Jesus. For Jerusalem once again cried out against Jesus, kill the preacher. Take this man, Jesus, and have him crucified. Jerusalem will be the city that pierces the Christ, his hands, his feet, his brow, his side. And yet Jerusalem thought it was doing what was good and right. What is good and right is that God gives up his son. He gives up the true prophet, and he does it for you. He is a good preacher who is willing to die for you. His innocent blood brings life and salvation to a world that is hell-bent on hating him. God's love for his people knows no bounds. Christ's love for you, who are ravaged by sin, is what sent him to Jerusalem. And in Jesus' going, He knew that it would turn out different for him than it did Jeremiah. Jesus knew that he would be rejected, that he would be despised, he would be condemned to die. Jerusalem would kill the author of life, but only because he allowed them to do so. Only because his innocent blood must be shed for the forgiveness of sins. Jerusalem was the city where God and man would be reconciled. Jerusalem, the city of peace, would finally become the place where peace was made with God the Father in heaven. And that peace that was made, that peace that was won by Christ, is yours. God still uses preachers to bring this good news to you. You who would have been called by the Holy Spirit and gathered around God's means of grace this morning. You have heard this gracious call. You have been reconciled to God by Christ Jesus. This beloved Son who hung on a tree for you and for the sins of the whole world, whose body was pierced for you and your transgression. He speaks through his word in order that he might gather you under his wings, in order that his righteousness might be yours in exchange for your sins. God is willing that none should perish. And so he has called you by the gospel, through his word, in the voice of the preacher. Receive this word of the Lord. And give thanks to God that indeed he continues to send his word among you, that you may hear it, that you may repent, and that you may receive with joy the forgiveness of all of your sins. For indeed, they are forgiven because of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew my spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this, our offering, that here in this place we may continue to proclaim both law and gospel, that all who would hear it would come to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, who forgives sins. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We continue with the prayers of the church. We pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. This morning in our prayers, we have a prayer of thanksgiving for the birth of a baby girl born to Journey and to Chris. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, cleanse and renew our hearts from the stain of sin. Bring us to genuine repentance. Pardon all our sins and renew our faith, that we may have a clear conscience, Grant us the aid of your Holy Spirit to manifest the holiness of life which befits our calling through holy baptism. By faith, let us show forth our good works of Christ, who call us from darkness into his marvelous light. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, save and defend your church from the enemies of your word. Give us faithful pastors and teachers who will gather your sheep with your voice, feed them your blessed sacraments, and lead us into everlasting life. Teach us the love of your name and the desire for what is good and right, that we would renounce all false belief and love you with our whole heart, mind, body, and strength. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, protect us from our adversary who prowls around looking to devour us. Guard those in authority over us, especially our President and Congress, that our laws would be just and justly applied for the punishment of the evildoer and pursuit of virtue. Be with those whose task it is to defend from all the evils of this world. We remember those who serve us in the armed forces, especially Todd, Angela, Jacob, Madison, and Kyle. So also we pray that you would bring help and aid to those who serve as police and emergency workers in our community, that they too be kept safe and that no harm and danger would befall them. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, give to those whom you have blessed with the gift of a child your hand of help and comfort. We remember Justine, Alyssa, and Kirsten. Turn their trust and hope to you, that in the giving of life, your name may be glorified. So also we pray and give you praise for the gift of life that you have bestowed upon Journey and Chris with the birth of a baby girl. We pray that you would send your holy angels to shield and protect this child from all danger of body and soul. Preserve her according to your good pleasure, until that day when she is brought to the waters of holy baptism to receive the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, teach us to number our days in this present life, and grant to those who celebrate birthdays this week joy in your loving kindness. We remember especially Cale. Assist him by your Holy Spirit to abide in the confessions of your care and protection, and in all things glorify your holy name. Lord, in your mercy, Father, receive our thanks and give praise for the tender mercies that you have shown to your humble servants, Bryce and Vicky, who celebrate their gift of marriage this week. Grant them your Holy Spirit that acknowledges your goodness and magnifies your holy name. So also give them grace to continue in love and service to each other as they love and serve you. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, comfort those who are in distress. Grant healing to those who are sick. Give peace to those who are troubled, especially those for whom our prayers have been requested, including our homebound and shut-ins, Eldine, Janine, Audrey, Bev, Benny, Lenora, Benil, Margaret, and Lois. So also we pray for Isabel, Stacy, Dwayne, Nick, Karen, Lana, Mark, Dan, and Samantha. These and all whom we name in our hearts this day. We pray that you would bring them through the troubles and trials by your grace, that they may sing anew of your wondrous love and mercy. Strengthen all of us by your Holy Spirit according to your will. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, remember in mercy all who come this day to receive the Savior's body and blood in the sacrament of this altar. May all our hearts be turned in repentance, strengthened in faith, and emboldened in love to show such forgiveness, grace, and mercy in service to our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy, bless us, Heavenly Father, in this season of repentance. As we continue to walk through this Lenten tide, let us hold fast to your word. Teach us to die to self and serve you faithfully through this mortal life until at last you bring us with the blessed saints into your presence forevermore. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with
thy spirit. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to
do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood,
which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
that your body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep you strong and steadfast, both body and soul, a life everlasting, in part of his peace. Amen. Welcome to the table of our Lord.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.